This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
For a second there, I thought we were the victim of a massive cyber attack when I was connected to the station and then the connection just dropped completely. Because apparently X is on a massive cyber attack against Elon Musk and X. Who's behind it? Who could be the mastermind? Bunch of lefties, international, who knows? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Monday, March 10th, and here we are. It's a beautiful day. It's probably the most beautiful day we've had so far in a long time. So it makes me very, very happy to be here. But yeah, Elon Musk says a massive cyber attack caused service outages for X users. I was struggling with it all morning. I was sending messages to people and they weren't going through. Musk says the attack was done with a lot of resources and that a large coordinated group and or country is involved in the attack against X. You know, the Musk derangement syndrome is very, very real. I mean, it's very real. In fact, it's so real that the craziest people in America right now are calling Teslas hate mobiles. Remember how for a long time it used to be the hate chicken? Remember the hate chicken? Well, now we got the hate mobile being the Tesla. Lefties used to love driving Teslas. They virtue signal with them. I never had really. There was one time I flirted with the idea of buying one, not because of the electric aspect of it, just because of the self-driving aspect of it. I thought that'd be cool as hell to have a car that drove me. I mean, I grew up watching Knight Rider. So Kit, you know what I mean? I wanted that. I wanted a car that would talk to me and drive for me and do all kinds of cool stuff. And that's for a little bit, I flirted with the idea of buying a Tesla. This is before Elon Musk ever got politically active with President Trump, obviously. And I sent them $1,000 for a deposit. And like a year went by and I never heard from them. And it was a fight to get my money back. It was a whole pain in the neck. And I'm glad I didn't go through with it. Not because of anything. It's just that what I didn't realize at the time is you have to pay for the autonomous driving, and then people that do it, they don't love it. You still got to keep your hands on the wheel. It's like, yeah, I mean, we're not at the point yet where you can just take a nap in the back seat and the car just drives you to point A to point B. I would buy that car in a heartbeat, or a car that flies, obviously. But anyway, at the time, it felt more controversial for a guy like me to drive a Tesla, given that it was an electric vehicle. I didn't care about that part of it. Again, like, I just wanted a self-driving car. I just thought that was cool. I'm glad I didn't do it. I'm glad. Nothing against Elon. I just don't really want to add one more gigantic thing to the grid when we already have a grid problem in this country. So I'm all in on the gas engine. If we can get a self-driving gas car, actually, if we can get a self-driving diesel engine car, I will be the happiest man ever. I'd buy that car in a heartbeat. if I could afford it, obviously, buy it at Harpy. I'm sure it probably exists. Just I probably can't afford it. But back up. The left used to love Teslas. They would virtue signal with them. It's like, look at me, I'm green. I have my Tesla. You'd have people with license plates that said that it's like zero emissions. I actually saw a Tesla with that license plate once. Zero emissions. Like, what a self-absorbed, you know what I mean? Like, virtue signaling jet. Anyway, now it's the opposite. Now, Tesla is the hate mobile, and you have to sell your Tesla and get rid of it. So you think about this idea of this big attack on X, which is the only true free speech platform left in America, because the others have all been sabotaged in a big way. But Elon Musk and X, he's doing a great job of keeping it free. He wants it to be free. And Truth Social does too, but where X was, when it was Twitter, where it was back then when it all started, was they were helping the government censor and silence people. For example, Bobby Kennedy today talking to Big Food, talking about food additives and food colorings and all these other things, the crap that's in our food, that for a lot of parents, I believe, even parents that hate Donald Trump's guts, part of the reason why they voted for him was because of the MAHA movement, Make America Healthy Again. They love the idea of this. They love the idea of getting behind somebody who's willing to challenge the conventional norms of big food and big pharma. I think it was a big part of the reason why he won. Now that movement is extending into the lunchroom at schools. That movement is also extending into, excuse me, Utah, for example, becoming the first state in the country to ban fluoride in water. He's the disruptor. Elon Musk is a disruptor. There was a time when if you were on Twitter and you were questioning the COVID vaccine, or you were on Twitter questioning the origins of the pandemic, you were on Twitter questioning whether or not your kid should have to wear a mask, Twitter, Facebook, they would put disinformation warning labels. They would use their algorithm to silence you. They would use their algorithm to push forward what the government wanted them to push forward, whether it was that the vaccines were good for you, whatever it was. And Elon Musk buys X and he turns it into a free speech platform. So now he's accused of allowing hate speech, because anything the left doesn't like, they'll call hate speech. So if you come out and you say you criticize Dylan Mulvaney, the trans influencer, the dude, the biological male, who dresses up like a girl and endorses Bud Light. And CBS News did a whole thing this morning on their morning show, apparently, about how hard it's been for Dylan Mulvaney, how hard it's been for the brand Bud Light. I'll just say this. If it wasn't for Shane Gillis, I think Bud Light would have been toast. But I think having Shane Gillis endorse Bud Light, who's a very likable comedian, a guy who was canceled from being a cast member on Saturday Night Live, And then went on to make a fortune as a comedian telling it like it is. Probably the best thing ever happened to him was getting canceled from Saturday Night Live. But as my buddy pointed out, it was probably a couple of scary years for him until he hit it big. But if you were to go out there, you would have said back then, Dylan Mulvaney's a man, because Dylan Mulvaney's a man. That would be labeled hate speech and they would take it down. If you were to put things on there and you'd question, for example, well, whether or not children should take puberty blockers and get gender-affirming care. And by gender-affirming care, we mean chopping off body parts. They would label that hate speech, disinformation, whatever their purposes were, and they would censor you. Elon Musk buys X and turns it into a free speech platform. The left exposes their cards. They hate free speech. They really do. They hate free speech. They hate the idea that you might be able to go out there and say what's on your mind and really be able to speak your mind and say something that is contrarian. The left does not like that. Like all totalitarians, they want to control speech, because the key to maintaining power, okay, is to control the speech. If you can control the speech, you can stay in power, because then nobody can criticize you and nobody can offer up an alternative plan. They hate X so much. Part of the reason why I've told you don't buy this whole thing about forcing TikTok to sell or banning TikTok is because that's what the left would love to do to X. They'd love to shut him down. Then he endorses Donald Trump. So they were angry about him at first because he was allowing freedom of speech. Then he was kind of flirting with MAGA. Then he came all out there and endorsed Donald Trump. Then he goes in there as the head of Doge and starts dramatically slashing government. Now, there's a stock market sell-off today fueling recession fears. And you could probably argue that America has maybe been in a recession. You could argue that the last several quarters, particularly under the last administration, towards the end, we're bad and prices are still high and these things are not going to happen overnight. But the Howard Lutnick's out there saying there will be no recession in America. It's not going to happen. We are not going to be in a recession from the official perspective of this. But if there's a sell-off fear, the market's certainly going to rush towards running with that and saying that Donald Trump is scaring everybody into a recession by trade wars. That's not true. Okay, what we're dealing with here with high prices on things like eggs and everything else, this was all in the making. But at the very same time that they're criticizing Elon Musk for trying to slash government spending to get our house in order again, to bring down inflation, to bring down government spending, because most of the government spending right now goes on interest of the national debt. It's our highest cost. They hate him for it, and they want to shut him down and destroy his business and his company. And they don't care about the people that work there. You know, they don't care about the people that work at Tesla. They don't care about the people that sell the cars, make the cars. They could care less. As far as they're concerned, if the brand tomorrow went away, and I knew it was peak Trump derangement syndrome when Jason Bateman, the actor, said he sold his Tesla because he felt like he was driving around in a giant Make America Great Again bumper sticker. That's what he said. Well, I'm going to play for you a crazy person. This is definitely a mentally ill person here on social media who's talking about how everybody needs to get rid of their Teslas and calling them hate mobiles. Na 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 hate man. Because what does hate man drive? A hate mobile. To the hate mobile, Robin. To the hate mobile. Now, I don't know if this man has been checked for any sort of chemical imbalance, although I don't really know if chemical imbalance is really what it is anymore. The new research coming out and all that stuff. But this is just what I mean. A great embodiment of this. This is a man named Damien Slash on TikTok. Let's cue up cut number 6, Sean. The Musk derangement syndrome is real. Take a listen.
You need to sell your Tesla. I'm not going to warn you again, okay? Those of us in the resistance are not going to stand for these hate mobiles driving around, providing free advertising for the man who has subverted our democracy and spread disinformation.
Wait, pause it.
Hate speech and supported.
Pause it for a second, if you would. Let's dig into that. First of all, this geek has watched way too much TV. We in the resistance, dude. What is this? Star Wars? Is that what this is? Is this Star Wars? Okay. So we in the resistance and then driving around in his hate mobile. That's the second part of this too. Fascism in America. Where are the fascists? Let me say, you're advocating for shutting down Tesla. You want to drive this guy's company into business, but you're accusing him of being a fascist. Got it. To the hate mobile, Robin. No, 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 no. Hate man. Hate man. Hey, all right, keep going.
Fascist takeover government, and who has taken the food from the mouths of millions of people around the world by destroying U.S. aid and has betrayed Vladimir Zelensky. That is how serious this is. And you continue to pre-order these Teslas. You continue to drive and charge these cars that are making this man, Elon Musk, more and more powerful, infinitely powerful. That is not okay.
Infinitely not okay. Powerful?
We are sending the Tesla stock to zero. Zero, Elon.
Let me jump in here for a second, if I could. This man is a virgin, clearly, obviously. And he really does describe, like, he just got off the Rise of the Resistance ride at Disney World. And now he's describing it like he's a warrior in this fight. We in the resistance, because he's getting more powerful, like the Sith Lord that he is. But we're going to sell off his hate mobiles and bring his stock to zero. And then we will rise. It's like, shut up, dude. Would you relax? Calm down. The guy's got billions of dollars. You're not gonna bankrupt Elon Musk. He also has SpaceX. He also has Starlink, which nobody's turning off Starlink for Ukraine. That was a lie that was being spread by the corporate lamestream media over the weekend. Nobody's turning off Starlink for Ukraine. He also has, he's a genius, and he can come up with other ways to make money. You, on the other hand, you're up until now, your biggest complaint was how much Disney was charging you to stream. Let's be honest, Disney Plus. You wanted access to the full library of all the Star Wars movies, and you felt like $14.99 a month was just way too much. And prior to this, you were making videos probably going on about that and how you can't see and have your Sith Lord revenge fantasies anymore because $15 a month was too expensive. Then Elon comes along, and now you're making these videos. That's really who you are. Let's be honest. The Musk derangement syndrome is very real. And then they keep parroting him on Saturday Night Live. I don't mind. I mean, he's perfectly ripe for making fun of. Just do it in a funny manner. I also don't mind making fun of his spasms. I also don't think it's inappropriate to make fun of, not to make fun of. Let me rephrase that. I don't think doing an impression of Elon Musk or doing an impression of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. because of his voice issue is wrong. If people could do an impression, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you're just doing an impression of what the person sounds like. I don't get offended by that. What I do get offended by is if it's not funny. And I don't know. They don't know how to make Elon Musk funny. That's what it is. There's a comedian who's learned how to make Bobby Kennedy very funny by talking about all these really strange cures for things. And it's pretty funny. And he nails him, too, with the voice. But Saturday Night Live doesn't know how to make Elon funny. That's their problem. They're not culturally relevant anymore. They hate him and they don't know what to do about him. He was a host though on the show at one point. So Donald Trump was too. But a couple of years ago, Elon Musk hosted Saturday Night Live. He was cool. He was cool to the left. He was the guy that created the electric vehicle. He was cool. They loved Elon Musk back then. What happened? What happened is Trump happened. That's what happened. And then these shows have lost their political relevancy, their cultural relevancy. So then look at, for example, the question that I was asked today when I was on Fox News. I don't know if I mentioned that or not, but I was on Fox News today with Dana Perino and Bill Hemmer. And the question about Tim Walz and their campaign and hiding from the media. And Tim Walz saying that, we didn't put it all out on the field using his jokey, coachy colloquialisms. There are two factors with that. One is that Kamala Harris was incapable of actually doing an interview. She really couldn't. But number two is that the Democrat Party doesn't understand something very profound has shifted in our culture, which is there's a whole group of people out there who don't believe a word that comes out of the mouth of CBS, NBC, ABC. They don't believe in celebrity politicians. So they don't care who Michelle Obama's endorsing. They don't care who Barack Obama's endorsing. They don't care. And they tune into podcasters like Joe Rogan. They listen to this show. They listen to people because they want somebody who's not going to BS them. And they're tired of getting BS and they can smell BS a mile away. And I think that if Kamala Harris had gone on, say, Joe Rogan's show, one of the things that they would have pushed is the Biden cognitive decline issue and her role in covering it up, because it truly is the political scandal of the century. I really do believe that. I believe it is the political cover-up of the century. Certainly. And it's bigger than Watergate, to quote Lawrence O'Donnell. So she couldn't handle those kind of interviews. She did do the Call Her Daddy podcast, but was dumb about that, though. She built a $100,000 backdrop, which even the host of the show said was stupid and unnecessary. But cultural relevancy is a big problem for Democrats right now. They don't know how to tap into it. So they make those dumb TikTok videos you saw over the weekend where various female congresswomen are posing as fighters and it says, pick your fighter. And what they're not realizing is that on the platform formerly known as Twitter, on X, people are posting videos now, doing live streams on there, doing all kinds of things. And I would argue that the most culturally relevant places right now are on places like X and other sites like that, too, where you've got people who become influencers, an overused word, but people that are not afraid to speak their mind and tell people their opinions on things and do what we do in talk radio, but do it on a different platform. Instead of the radio, they're doing it online. So are we. We're streaming live on YouTube right now. But the point is that the Democrats don't know how to tap into that. They're scared and they still want to believe that just Michelle Obama or Barack Obama speaking at a convention is going to save them. And it's not going to save them. So part of the hatred they have for Elon Musk, in addition to Doge, is that his platform, his massive platform of X, is enabling people now to speak up, build a following, challenge the conventional norms and beliefs. And the left wants to shut that down, too, because they don't like that. They don't like any person or entity that is able to disagree with them and push forward new ideas. So the Elon Musk derangement syndrome is real. So then we come back to the question that I was asked earlier today. Who do I think is behind this massive cyber attack against X? I have no idea. And I'm not going to speculate because I don't like speculating on things. I feel like that gets me in trouble. I would rather just wait for all the details to come out. But I wouldn't be surprised if it turned out to be a domestic bunch of wacko lefties. That wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me in the least if it was a foreign country. It wouldn't surprise me if it was maybe a combo platter of both. Hell, it wouldn't surprise me if it was Russia. Because despite what everybody says about Elon Musk being pro-Russia, without Starlink, Ukraine would be toast. And Ukraine would have been toast a long time ago without Starlink. Starlink is Elon Musk's internet access that provides data Wi-Fi to millions and millions of people in this country. The numbers are growing every single day. And it's the way of the future. Eventually, Starlink will be everything. I said the other day when I was on Amtrak and you had the crappy Wi-Fi service, I said Amtrak should switch over to Starlink instead of using cell phone towers along the way. But a couple of years ago, Elon Musk gave Starlink to Ukraine to use to help them in the war since the Russians had cut off their communications. When you hear the Elon Musk derangement syndrome, you don't hear that. And despite the lying from the corporate media over the weekend, Elon Musk is not cutting off Starlink. They are still going to help Ukraine. They're still helping Ukraine. None of that's happened. All right, we got a lot to get to today, including the Kabul bombing planner is facing U.S. justice in court. There's a Pennsylvania woman who's missing. She went to the Dominican Republic and has since disappeared. And what's going to happen if you look very, very closely at the state of the political race in this country in the next couple of years? Is that slimeball Gavin Newsom going to convince people he's a moderate? Is Andrew Cuomo going to come back in and be resurrected politically as the love gov cometh back? What's going to happen? Who is in charge of the Democrat Party? All that and more is our big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. We're coming right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know, maybe they should just shut X down, pull the plug, and restart. You know what I mean? you know, it's just whenever you get a problem, a technical problem, that's really what you just wind up doing. Just pull the plug and restart it. I find that all the time. More and more with electronics, I have to do that. I had to do that with my TV over the weekend. Patrick was trying to help me stream the Philly spring training game because I have to, of course, turn to my 10-year-old son. Now, it was a bummer. We were actually going to be down in Clearwater this past weekend. We were going to leave Thursday of last week and then come back late last night. And then when the whole foot thing happened, obviously couldn't go. So I was bummed out, but we were trying to stream the game and the TV was giving all kinds of problems. So, you know, my 10-year-old son walks over to the plug, pulls it out of the wall, holds it for like 10 seconds, plugs it back in, and TV starts working again. Isn't that amazing how that happens? So I don't know. Maybe Elon just needs to unplug X and wait 10 seconds. And there's something about the waiting. And there's also something about unplugging it from the wall versus just unplugging it from the back of the computer or something. Really, there's like a whole thing about that. It's amazing stuff. What you learn. No, it's true. There's this whole thing about that where you got to unplug it literally from the wall and not from the TV itself, because who knows? The magic elves that live inside that actually program this stuff. So Tulsi Gabbard, the director of national intelligence, per POTUS directive, I have revoked security clearances and barred access to classified information for the following people: Antony Blinken, Jake Sullivan, Lisa Monaco, Mark Zed, Norman Elson, Letitia James, Alvin Bragg, and Andrew Weissman. Now, first of all, you got to wonder, I mean, Antony Blinken was Secretary of State. What the hell was Letitia James, Alvin Bragg, and Andrew Weissman getting security clearances and classified briefings? What's that about? Trying to figure that out. That doesn't make much sense, if you ask me. Along with the 51 signers of the Hunter Biden disinformation letter, the president's daily brief is no longer provided to former President Biden. That's March 10th, 2025 by Tulsi Gabbard. Good. First of all, I don't understand this whole thing about giving people access after you leave office. I don't get that. I don't really understand that point. If they need your help with something, I mean, they can call you, I guess. But, you know, like, hey, do you think Iran's a bad country? Yeah. All right. Thanks. I don't know what you need. That once you leave, what do you still need security clearances and access for other than to make money in the private sector by getting a job or being on a board of a defense contractor and having access to the PBM or classified documents? Because that's what a lot of these slime balls do in the deep state, you know. They leave. Why do I have chopsticks, you're asking, if you're watching on the YouTube stream? It is because my leg is itchy inside my cast. Zioli, we're sick of hearing about your foot. Fine, I understand. But today when I was going to Fox News to do my appearance, all right, Zioli, we're sick of hearing about your Fox News appearances. Fair enough. But anyway, it was itchy, so I discovered that by using a chopstick from Joe's Peking Duck in Marlton, New Jersey, and sliding it down there and scratching my leg all around, it helps tremendously. Anyway, so why do these people need these security clearances? The answer is to raise their value for the Lockheeds and Raytheons and Boeings and Lockheed Martins and all the other defense contractors out there. And those are the big names you know about. The little ones you don't never heard about too. You know, to have James Clapper on our board with his security clearance and his access to stuff. It's a real thing. And these slime balls don't deserve to sell out, really, truly, the president of the United States of America. In my opinion, these people all participated in a coup against the guy and the weaponization of government. And then to keep receiving access when Donald Trump, as president of the United States, commander-in-chief, doesn't give a damn what James Clapper or John Brennan have to say. Plus, those guys are always mouthing off on MSNBC constantly doing that. Mouthing off on MSNBC, trashing the commander-in-chief, the president of the United States of America. And then why should they get to make money in the private sector because they've got security clearances and they can get better paying jobs or get more money on a board or something like that? The system's rigged. So good for Tulsi for taking that away. It's so cool to see her in that role, isn't it, as Director of National Intelligence? No longer provided to these officials who all signed the Hunter Biden laptop letter. In my opinion, the two greatest scandals that need to be fully investigated, the signing of the Hunter Biden laptop letter, and the second one being the cover-up of Joe Biden's cognitive decline. So the question that I was asked this morning on America's Newsroom was about Tim Walz going out there and saying that they kind of left some things in the locker room. They didn't put it all in the field. Why is that? And I said because, well, A, Kamala Harris is terrible. She can't do an interview. Have you ever heard her speak? And B, a big part of it was they were afraid that they would, somebody like a Joe Rogan would push her on the issue of Biden's cognitive decline, which I think is absolutely the biggest scandal of our lifetime. I'm going to interview this week the guy behind a documentary all about this, of the cover-up of Joe Biden's cognitive decline, which is not something that, I mean, Biden lost his friggin' mind. They knew this as far back as 2019 and 2020. And Biden should not be getting the presidential daily brief anymore anyway, because the judge said this man could never stand trial, too forgetful. So what if Joe Biden goes out there and says something while he's building a sandcastle this summer in Delaware and says something that's classified to somebody else because he forgets. He's a crazy old man. He just forgets these things. Now, the scandal around the auto pen, which is a really fascinating thing, the auto pen. This is one of those things there's a lot of White House lore that if you're fortunate enough to ever go, and I don't mean just the tour, but if you ever get a behind the scenes look at, there's a lot of things in the West Wing. There's the bowling alley. There's the underneath the press room, where what used to be the pool that Jackie Kennedy had filled in because John would have, you know, JFK would have lots of trysts in there and stuff. And there's the auto pen. The auto pen signs the president's signature, and it's supposed to be used on things like letters, for example. So you send a letter to the president, like I did when I sent a letter to President Ronald Reagan when I played him in fourth grade in a debate. And he wrote me a nice letter back. I'm sure it was probably auto-penned, but you never know. I sent him a copy of all my speeches that I did as President Reagan in the mock debate. So maybe it was really him. But it'd be stuff like that. Somebody writes a letter to the president. President writes a nice letter back. You auto-pen it. There's a whole system. Letter goes in the mail, goes to the person. Now they have a signed letter from the president of the United States of America. But it's not really his signature. It's not the same Donald Trump. Now, I do have a letter signed by the president that I keep in my messy drawer here in the home studio. And he did really sign this one. And the difference, this is real ink. And you can tell if you feel it, it's real ink. But the auto pen is not. Anyway, the point is this. The president gets, on average, thousands of letters a day from all across the country with people raising concerns on issues. Some people saying, I hate you. Some people saying, I love you. There's no way the president could sign all those letters. Lincoln used to try to sign each handwritten thing. They didn't have an auto pen back then in Lincoln's day and age. So some genius created this thing and it would just sign it. Well, in the Biden administration, they started using the auto pen to sign executive orders on major policy issues. Major policy issues. And that story that just broke on this is a huge scandal because you tie in Biden's cognitive decline with the fact that the White House was signing all of these. And these aren't just letters to fans or constituents. These are letters with policy implications from the president of the United States of America, the executive branch of government, auto-penned, signed. This is a big deal. So now the question becomes, if we know that they were covering up for Biden's cognitive decline, what did they know about the auto pen being used to sign major policy initiatives? And I'll give you some details of those upon my return about what some of those things were. And I think that if Kamala Harris had to sit down during the campaign with a Joe Rogan, she would never come on this show. But let's say she did Rogan's show, right? She was debating that. That was the big thing. It's very possible he would have pushed her on the cognitive decline stuff. The auto pen story had not broken at the time, so that wouldn't have come up. But pushing her on Biden's cognitive decline, I think, was the major reason why they turned down going on that podcast. And as a consequence, they lost reaching millions of people who do not trust anything or anyone. They really don't. It's a whole generation of people, and it's not just young people. There's a lot of Gen Xers, my generation, who are just, don't trust anything or anybody anymore. We've had it. Think everything's BS and we can sniff it a mile away. Kamala would go on the Call Her Daddy podcast or other podcasts that were heavily, they could, the questions in advance, you know, do local radio shows would give the questions in advance. She would never be in a situation where she would go there unscripted and be able to handle somebody pushing back. I think that's the real reason why. That and the fact that she couldn't complete a sentence and actually handle an interview. But the next layer on that is you can't come out there and Tim Walz and say that we didn't really go and do a lot of interviews. And maybe we should have done more. But then you did spend $100,000 to build a fake set for the Call Her Daddy podcast. The difference is you would do interviews. You would do Howard Stern. You would do that one. You would do local radio shows that agree to give you the questions in advance. You'd do all those things. What you wouldn't do is a long form interview with somebody who would ask you questions like, come on, when did you really know Biden was losing his friggin' mind? You didn't know? You didn't know in 2020? And then whatever evidence was available to that host to look up, to be able to start connecting the dots and put the vice president of the United States in a position where she was directly implicated in this massive cover-up of the mental decline of the president. And then the next question after that, of course, which is, who's really running this country, Madam Vice President? If you're acknowledging now that Biden has lost it, you're saying you just learned about it like everybody else. Even if we were to believe that and we don't, who's running the country? Are you running the country? If there's a nuclear strike, is Biden giving the commands? Do you have a toy that he can use if in the middle of the night he decides he wants to go boom, boom, boom? Like, do you give him like the toy nuclear codes? Or does he just have the real ones if he's lost his friggin' mind? These are the questions that I'm talking about. This is the issue that a real host or podcaster would have pushed her on that she just would not have been able to answer without, further destroying her campaign because she was so directly implicated in all of it. All right, Natural Lawn of America as spring is here and it's beautiful outside. Had lunch outside today, enjoyed it, thought about lighting up a stogie, but just didn't have time. It wasn't enough time because I was coming back from New York, so I might have mentioned I was on Fox News today. If I didn't, my apologies. But anyway, beautiful day out. Spring is here. We sprung forward the clocks. All this daylight. How's that lawn of yours doing? Probably needs some TLC, right? Very simple then. Call my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. You're going to get greener grass, fewer weeds guaranteed. They're safer. More organic method is better for your kids, safer for your kids, safer for your pets, and with fewer weeds guaranteed. And here's the difference, right? Because there's a lot of these lawn care companies out there, and they mass market everything, and they treat every lawn the same. So your lawn is treated like your neighbor's lawn, but that's not the thing. Your lawn is different from your neighbor's. My lawn needs special attention in certain areas, and that's the Natural Lawn of America difference. And it's a local company, family-owned company, from organic fertilization to safer weed and insect controls. They make sure your lawn thrives naturally. And that's what you want, a lawn you can be proud of. And here's the best part. With their full service program, they're going to seed your lawn for free. That's right. Call Natural Lawn of America. They get the free seeding every year by calling 1-800-FREE-SEED. 1-800-FREE-SEED. That overseeding makes a huge difference in the health and the quality of your lawn. Your lawn deserves the best, so choose the best. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. I've been using them for years. I'm so happy about it. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed. 1-800-FREE-SEED.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
So here's the deal. As we continue along the show today, it's a big one. The auto pen issue is a big deal. It's a really big deal. And I don't want to, I don't want to like underestimate what they were capable of achieving here by having the signature of the President of the United States of America. But the question is, how do we know that the president was actually aware of what was being signed with his name? Our friends over at the Heritage Foundation and their oversight project uncovered all this. And it's a really big deal. I mean, dozens of executive orders signed by former President Joe Biden were authorized with identical auto pen signatures, raising crucial questions about whether he was fully aware of what he was signing. The Conservative Heritage Foundation's oversight project uncovered the situation, prompting Biden detractors such as Republican Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey to suggest that it could be used to challenge the legitimacy of orders that the 82-year-old president signed, especially given the concerns about his cognition. See, I mean, think about it this way. You have the auto pen, which I'm not going to tell you where it's located. I can't, but, you know, I mean, if you, you know, it's not on the tour. It's not like in the, yeah, you, when you go in the White House tour, it's like in the red room. You're like, oh, look at the auto pen's there. There's a reason why the access to the auto pen is kept away from people. It's because that's the signature of the President of the United States of America. It's kind of a big deal. The question is twofold. Number one, was Biden aware that his name was being signed on these documents? And number two, were the people that were using the auto pen to sign Biden's name, did they do it knowing that he wouldn't know what he was signing? And then the third question of this is, was this intended to fool everybody? Because typically these things would be signed by the president's actual signature using an actual real pen, not an auto pen, which is a thing that literally looks like this, like a chopstick. It's about a pen like this size, and it moves around like that. Like, it's literally an auto pen. So is that, I mean, so then these people then might have committed federal offenses. And if it wasn't really the president of the United States signing these things, do any of them have legal standing? I am demanding a DOJ investigation into whether President Biden's cognitive decline allowed unelected staff to push through radical policy without his knowledge or approval, said the Attorney General Bailey. If true, these executive orders, pardons, and all their actions are unconstitutional and legally void. One of the AutoPen signed orders from Biden was an August 2022 directives meant to safeguard abortion access during emergency situations. Another was a December 2024 order to close government offices on January 9th, 2025 to honor late President Jimmy Carter. New York Post conducted a random brief scan of about three dozen signatures of executive orders in the Federal Register from President Trump, former President Barack Obama, and Biden at various times in their presidencies. All three men's different signatures did not appear to change, although the Post's review was briefer and less comprehensive than the Heritage Foundation's. AutoPen signatures are produced by machine instead of being done by hand. Scores of presidents dating back to at least Harry Truman are believed to have leaned on the modern AutoPen. We gathered every document we could find with Biden's signature over the course of his presidency, the Oversight Project said last week. All used the same AutoPen signature except for the announcement that the former president was dropping out of the race last year. For investigators to determine whether then-President Biden actually ordered the signature of relevant legal documents or if he even had the mental capacity to do so, they must first determine who controlled the AutoPen and what checks there were in place. The Oversight Project divulged examples of Biden's signatures on two executive orders that it surmised came from AutoPen and contrasted that with an image of his signature on the letter announcing he was pulling out of the 2024 presidential contest. Biden's signature on two executive orders essentially looked identical, while his signature on the letter about withdrawing from the race had slight differences, including the lack of Jr. at the end of his name. It was simply written as J.R. Biden. J.R. Biden. I don't know. It sounds like a Dallas character. Biden had been seen engaged in public signing ceremonies on numerous occasions throughout his presidency. It remains unclear exactly how much he used his AutoPen. Reps for former President Biden did not respond to requests for comment. In a jab at Biden's cognitive decline, the Oversight Project chided that whoever controlled the AutoPen controlled the presidency. It's true, because you don't know who was in charge of the AutoPen. You don't know who was there. You don't know if these people who were doing this bothered to tell anybody. And you don't know if the people who were using the president's signature had his okay. It's not just the using of the AutoPen that's the issue. It's the question of whether or not it was really with the president's okay and understanding. Now it's back up to the cognitive decline scandal and all this. Is that a big part of why they kept the cognitive decline so clearly hidden? How long had this been going on? For years? I mean, we always joked that Biden was a puppet. You know, we had a puppet. And we brought him to the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. If you were there for any of our live shows, you saw our puppet. You saw puppet Biden. I mean, he sat there with us. We joked about it. But none of us really knew how bad it was, even as far back as 2020. Even during the campaign, part of their strategy was to keep him off the trail because they were afraid he would say something that would be disastrous. And they would yuck it up and be like, oh, those are Uncle Joe Bidenisms. Ha, 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 Joe being Joe. But it wasn't that. It's that they knew that he lost his mind, but they thought he was the only guy that could beat Donald Trump. And I say beat in air quotes, because obviously, you know, he didn't, but that's for another show. And so Joe Biden, they had to cover it up. But then the people that were behind that, they had now the presidency with a president who didn't have all of his mental faculties. How far did they take that? How far the line did they take that is the question. What else did they accomplish here? Are these dastardly deeds done? I don't know. It certainly sounds like it's worth the investigation. And then you have to question things like pardons and other things. I mean, a pardon is not something that is subject to review by anybody. It's the president's to do and the president's alone. If Congress doesn't like it, Congress can impeach the president over it. But in this case, the president's already left office. But what if Biden didn't know about the pardons? Really, what if the president didn't know who he was pardoning? What if they never even asked him? The problem, though, is getting to the bottom of this would be very difficult, because obviously the people around him are going to cite executive privilege. The president's not going to come out, the former president, I should say, and come out and go, wait, what did I sign? Or he might, but still, given Biden, the fact that that's Biden, he might go, and I said, hey, I signed a mushroom, 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 mushroom. That doesn't mean that he didn't sign it. He doesn't remember signing it, but he still may have actually signed it. But it does make you think that the people behind covering up a cognitive decline had multiple reasons to do so, including the fact that they control the signature of the president of the United States of America. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Dr. Mike Veneria, great guy, great friend, the master of dental implants, my dentist, who's going to give you the beautiful smile you deserve. What are you waiting for? I mean, really, have you reached out to him yet for your free implant consultation? If not, why not? You got to do it today. Dr. Mike is going to give you a great smile. You're going to be really happy with the smile, and you're going to love feeling good about yourself, feeling proud to be in pictures and smile. So please do it today. Reach out to him by going to VeneriaDental.com. Two locations serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. And for over 10 consecutive years, Dr. Mike has been named a master of implant dentistry by his peers. These are the most regarded dentists in the industry who recommend their patients to go see Dr. Mike Veneria. So do it today. VeneriaDental.com. And we have a lot to smile about on this March 10th. And this wonderful year, 50 days into this administration, it feels really, really good. VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.